Caleb, welcome back to Pack Your Mics. This is the Top Chef Show podcast that you're on. It's pretty good.
Hey, yay.
This might be his loudest podcast yet, guys. Oh. So get ready for some squeals.
Well, get ready for that mute button.
I'm Alex Falcone. I'm here in Portland with Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hey.
And joining us in Brooklyn, it's Tanya and Chris.
Ho, ho, ho.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Bay Area, it's Ezra, Sarah, and a baby.
Hey. Nope.
nothing for baby.
I bet there's no baby at all, and you just said this is the loudest episode ever, and then there'll just be no sound, and no one will believe you.
They utter silence.
They will think this is an elaborate hoax.
I do like elaborate hoaxes. I just don't have no... Oh, there he goes. See? There's my soundboard. Found the right...
Well,
I'm clicking.
Let's get right into the show. We had a really exciting episode this week, I believe. No quick fire, no elimination.
Wait, no elimination. Can we talk about that for a sec?
Alex, I like that you said, I believe, as if we could have convinced you otherwise you didn't actually enjoy it.
Yeah, we could have all been like, actually, no.
It was not exciting. It was boring, Alex. You were bored.
I'm very persuadable. Like, if I clicked on Slate and there was an article called You're Watching Top Chef Wrong, I would believe it.
Yeah, looking at you, LV Anderson.
Yeah, I would have clicked, and while the article was loading, I'd just be saying, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, but guys, what do you think of a no quick fire, no elimination episode? This hasn't happened, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, since the Restaurant Wars episode where they had to redo it.
Right.
Wow, yeah. It's a surprise, no elimination.
Well, yeah, that was a you guys all failed. Yeah. This yeah. was you guys are great.
There's got to be some other no elimination since that one, because that one was years ago.
I don't know.
So, yeah.
It's pretty seldom. Sometimes
it's sort of their thing.
Yeah.
It's true. It is. It is. I'll tell you my theory on it. Do you want to hear my theory?
Sure.
What's your theory?
My theory is that because this year had a lot of wackadoodle elimination stuff where there was you might or might not get a double elimination in a day based on the quickfire.
Yep.
And some other stuff. And I think they just had to build in, like, they had a certain number of episodes they have to turn in. And the fact that no one got eliminated means they just have one extra. Or
they got through their chefs too quickly?
Yeah.
Or more quickly?
That kind of makes sense to me. It's like they had a magic elf who was kind of like, I guess, like, you know, just really like throwing off eliminations here and there and just, you know, whatever we want to do. Just like, oh yeah, we have tons of chefs. We'll never run out of chefs. And then like at the end of it, just like, oh wait.
Magical elves ignored their abacus and then came back and were like, wait a second.
Hold the this phone. All running in, covered in ticker tape. I've done the calculations. It's not going to work.
I thought it was because they had their family members on the show and they didn't want to eliminate them.
Oh, that's kind of
a sweet thing. Where it's like, I don't want to like embarrass you in front of the people who you're trying to get like...
make them feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah, just national television and your family who's watching.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, bravo.
I definitely agree with that because when they were explaining the challenge, I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to make the family member do the appetizer and then someone's going to get eliminated and it's going to ruin that family forever. Right. Yeah. Like, it's going to cause like a permanent rift in their relationship.
May
this
and her
is
brother
horrible.
Might not get along anymore.
Yeah. Like, well, May and her brother would stay exactly the same. Did you see May at the end of this, like standing off of that rock away from her brother?
Yeah.
Aww,
or just
poor,
like, yeah.
Poor Harley.
Oh, Harley. No. She said that they bonded.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
But her eyes didn't say that they bonded.
Her headband say.
Yeah, her headband said that they're closer now.
Right.
I agree that it would have been pretty brutal to eliminate them with their family member having to have cooked a dish, not just sous chefing, but having to have presented a dish on their own. But also that, like, just the elimination thing is actually worked out really well because they got to do that. And they got to do the Last Chance Kitchen where they eliminated one of the two because they had too many chefs in Last Chance Kitchen. So
yeah,
it all like they actually did the math pretty well despite it being complicated.
Yeah.
Well, and my other theory was just that this was more about like building in background for everyone because I feel like there's always sort of there's some awkward wedging of like people's personal stories into the finale a lot of the time. Where it's like, quick, give them all the background you can.
Who is May?
Yeah, and so I felt like having everyone's families there and having like a stress-free, elimination-free time to talk about everybody was good.
I mean, I loved it, so I don't know if it was on purpose to make me love it, but I loved having there because it was intense, but then no one went home, and everybody got to do really well except Gregory, and then he didn't have to go home for that. I mean, it was really fun.
Yeah, he actually shot up my sister.
Yeah,
and they all got to go more fishing, or less. Kind of.
Yeah, they all got to go dredging, really.
Oh, and Harley broke the crank. The one job that Harley had.
Harley, the one job you had,
Harley.
Go now.
So the challenge was you cook a dish using super fresh seafood that you either trawled from the bottom of a farm or you grabbed out of a freezer boat.
Can we trawl more things? I want more trawling.
Maybe we can get you a trawler. They specifically said you had to forage these other ingredients, and then it was a wooden boat full of ice with the ingredients on ice, and they foraged from the freezer shelf.
He's still foraging.
It felt like there was a production conversation that happened after that part had been drafted. And they're like, we're going to have you forage for sea beans. And then they're like, what does that entail? And they're like, wait, what? No, we're not having them do that. We can't have them do that. Never mind.
Or maybe it was because Harley broke the crane. It slowed them down enough. We're like, better get the backup.
We couldn't trust
him. He broke the forager.
Yeah, we couldn't trust him to go harvest sea beans. He would break it somehow.
The world supply of sea beans have now been destroyed thanks to Harley.
Well, and don't forget, he's not the black sheep of the family. That's May. No.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah, self-described.
Yeah, so...
Well, it seems like in point of fact.
Based on how Harley operated in the world, I'm going to go ahead and agree with May.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't operate like there was any pressure on his shoulders at any point in his life.
He's like a pretty low-key, laid-back sort of guy, for sure.
Which is like the opposite. Let's think of May. In any situation.
Well, but she also said she was the black sheep of her family because she went into the restaurant business, which is what both her parents do. And that seems pretty harsh of your parents
don't do this.
To make their own careers the black sheep career.
I don't know. Her parents are harsh, I guess.
Or maybe it's a family of black sheep and Harley's just the white sheep that doesn't fit in.
So she was right when she said she was the black sheep. It's just not what you think of
it. Yeah, yeah.
She meant it in backwards town.
Can we go to Backwards Town someday?
On Backwards Farm.
Should we talk about what happened?
Yeah, so that's the second part of the challenge was that you had a family member there for you to yell at, and they were in charge of making the appetizer. You couldn't touch it. Obviously, it was your idea, but they couldn't touch it. So what do you guys, this is not the first family member challenge. It's a pretty common thing. What do you guys think of the yell at someone you care about challenge?
I mean, good TV.
Yeah, good TV. It's really hard to yell at Mr. Tony. Mm-hmm. He's just inscrutable.
I love the look on Mr. Tony's face constantly with his mouth kind of open. He just looks so lovable.
This is George's dad who ran a diner and can totally cook, but at the same time, like, never cooked fine dining food.
Yeah, like, he could totally cook fried eggs to order. He could probably do a great cheese steak.
I think he could probably serve a side of sass as well if he wanted to.
I feel like he could probably even whip up like a souvlaki, but I think at a certain point you get into other things, like, you know, oyster eating, and he gets real weird.
Yeah. He didn't even want to eat an oyster. That's not a very advantage. Although, you know, I still felt like they had certain advantage. This is one of the weird things about the family member challenge is that there's vastly different talent levels in your assistant. So
for every Mr. Tony, there's a Harley.
Yeah. There was Melissa's mom who did a great job, but who's an astrophysicist. That's not her job. She's not a cook.
Or aerospace engineer.
Aerospace engineer, that's what it is.
Wow. I didn't notice that one.
You didn't notice? That was my favorite part of the episode. We were all, everyone like, we went, what? Wow.
Yeah, no, it was great because they had at the bottom, it was like, it was Melissa's mom, aerospace engineer, and there was Harley, student.
10 year senior.
Like the cars where they were all catching up with each other, because it was like the parent child car and then the like sibling car.
Parent child car
was just like, mom, look, I did all these things. Mom. It was so crazy. And mom, you'll never believe what I did over here.
Hey.
Are you? Yeah, with May, it was so awkward. She was like, so you're still in school, I think?
No, she said, how much longer do you have in school? And then he said, like, another year. And she's like, what, are you on some 10-year plan? Yeah, like, what's happening? It wasn't like she didn't know. It was like, why? How are you still not done?
I don't,
she also asked him how their parents were, as if she hadn't spoken to them either. Sad.
I kind of get the how are you not done yet thing, because that's kind of I feel about my slow cooker sometimes, where it's like I just set it and like assume it'll be done, and then just it takes a long time,
wow.
Guys.
Chris's face
was not pleased. And it's like you open it and it's like, oh, I have some core requirements that like I forgot about.
Why is your crock pot getting a PhD, Ezra? I don't understand.
Ask it, man.
It turns out you can only defend in the fall, which like no at first. And, like,
I didn't plan for that.
It's cool. You don't want to rush a braise, is what they're telling me.
A braise takes 3 hours and 10 minutes. You better have those 3 hours and 10 minutes.
But it gets a master's degree halfway through.
I guess I'm just like super duper on Team May. I don't know if it's like a childhood of Disney has like made me feel so much harder for like the orphans, even if they're like faux orphans. But like everyone who had like a warm and fuzzy like mommy
or forfins, as they like to be called.
Orphans.
Yes, they like to be called that.
I'm sure they love that. But like the fact that May was like, yeah, they're never gonna approve of me, and I don't need that from them anymore. Just like I was like, May, you have to get this. Yeah.
You're gonna make it on your own.
You're gonna make it, May.
Yeah,
I really wanted May to win too. I want her to show her parents who's boss.
But you know, Melissa had that halfway.
Yeah, she, yeah.
Melissa is my second least favorite, and she always has been.
I feel like
what?
Wow.
What about Melissa's mom though?
Like, come out.
Sorry, it's just once it got down to like a bunch of people and Melissa, I was always like, Melissa is fine. Like Melissa is, she's completely fine. But like. Of like people that I need to be in the finale, like she does not meet any of those requirements.
She's not Dougie,
me.
Is what.
No,
you're
I yeah. agree with that for sure. And we did get a lot of Melissa shade in our mailbag coming up here in a second. But I
wait. Are you gonna read the letter yet?
No. Is that
no, it's coming up in a second.
That's why I warned you.
Okay.
Just think about Belle, everyone.
I mean, we're going to talk about a couple of things before we get back to that. Before we get to our like the mailbag opinions on Melissa, though. I don't know. I felt like I kind of fell for her because her and her mom were so great, and because her dad was a dickhead, and she also cooked this amazing thing despite having a crappy dad. And I was so—I don't know—I was happy for her.
Also, I like that she made her mom actually cook an amazing thing as well.
Yeah. It was really. I really liked. I don't know. Like for this challenge, I was really sort of rooting for Team Melissa. I agree that she's probably not the strongest chef there, and I. We'll probably not be reading for her in the finale. But for this particular challenge, there was just something about her relationship with her mom that was so sweet. And her mom just seems so like, I don't know, like I was just going to feel so bad if they lost because her mom was so like, just seems so invested in the whole thing. And
yeah,
she was.
And she's very emotional.
Really, yeah.
It was sweet that she had her make something that her mom used to make for her, like when she couldn't sleep. I don't know, like there's something about
but
it
like
just
a
like really,
much fancier version.
Yeah, it just really, really grabbed me. And so I was really happy when they won.
I mean, obviously we all want George to go home. That's the obvious answer to all of this.
Look, it's not that I'd want George to go home. I just don't want him to win. Yeah, but he seems fine. Like, I don't dislike George.
You know, I don't dislike him either. I just don't want him to take a spot in the finale away from people who deserve to be there.
Well, yeah. And also, since
we put all our haters in Brooklyn.
We know that there are 3 spots. Like, you've already filled one with Melissa and her custard, and now you have 2, and you have to choose between Doug and May and George. So,
Greg.
Well,
Doug,
like the people that are,
Doug
won Last Chance Kitchen.
Right,
so he's coming back.
He's
going to
come back to the first part of the finale in Mexico. But that's as far as Melissa's gotten. She hasn't skipped that next round in Mexico.
I also, we were confused.
The last round of the finals.
No,
we were confused by that too. There's a Last Chance Kitchen finals that Dougie's going to in Mexico. He hasn't actually gotten back into the competition yet.
Yeah, so he's going to compete against the person who loses this next week.
Yeah, so I think what's going to happen. So here's what's going to happen is next week Melissa's going to lose, and then she's going to compete against Doug, and Doug's going to beat her.
Well,
and
no,
then,
Melissa's not.
Well, wait, Melissa can't lose.
Immunity.
So yeah. Not next week. Sorry. George.
George loses next
George
week.
George is going to lose, and then he's going to get beaten by Doug, and then Doug is going to compete in the finals of the finale with Gregory and May. That seems reasonable, right?
How'd you get rid of Melissa then?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You
too many people. There must
this
be...
is what I'm saying. You have too many people, and one of them is Melissa.
I guess maybe there's 3
episodes.
I like
Melissa.
There might be. Yeah.
You're right. I like it. It doesn't work out, but I can't imagine they're going to eliminate, like, they're going to finish Last Chance Kitchen. Although they did do this last year, right, where, like, you won Last Chance Kitchen and you came in and then you got eliminated right away? Like, there was, like, a super fast elimination?
I think that happened. Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
I can't remember, though.
So it's possible that, like, there's going to be another a pre-elimination and then three will cook in that last show. Anyway, I still have faith that the math works out, that it can be Gregory. I still think that's possible.
Okay.
I think, and this is the thing, I just want to make sure I'm being clear. It's not that I think that Melissa is like a garbage human. It's not that. It's not that at all.
We already eliminated the garbage human.
With these kids and the people that I'm rooting for, Melissa just isn't, she doesn't make that. She's like the fourth of the top three. Like, she's the person that I really like am done with.
She's your D'Artagnan, as it were.
What? The what?
D'Artagnan?
The fourth of the three.
D'Artagnan.
He's not a...
I would have lost, like, Porthos?
You don't lose Porthos.
I would die without Porthos, too. But, like, if we met D'Artagnan's mom and she was really sweet and then the two of them cooked a great dish together, I'd be fine with them moving on. I agree that they're the extra.
That's how I feel, Caleb.
It's like, I met your mom and you cut vegetables really well, and that's great. And, like, let's have coffee sometime. But, like, I need May and Doug and Greg in the finale.
I'm just going to say, Tony, right now, if you keep talking about Melissa this way, you might not have coffee with her.
She's not going to consent to that.
She's already done so well, and she has amazing skin. There's a lot to say for Melissa.
Amazing skin. So, here's the thing about this episode's elimination. It seemed like between the entrees, between the two entrees that the chefs did individually, that May's might have been the better entree because, like, it used that surf clam. It was more revelatory. It wasn't butter poached lobster in the way that everyone has had butter poached lobster before.
But that was the best poaching of lobster in butter that they had had.
Yeah, best possible one. The vegetables were awesome.
Yeah, as usual. That's the other thing I like about Melissa is her vegetables are always perfect, even though no one cares.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to get more cuts in it. Yeah, you still ran out of time.
She makes amazing veg. I like her for that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was great, but I thought May, on the strength of her dish alone, would have been great. It seemed like it was the balance that
but then she had to throw away
and that wasn't the challenge. Yeah.
No, I know. I just think he's got so much talent. I want her to go.
Well, she's doing it. Yeah, I think
next week they get to eliminate George, and then Dougie will be
or Gregory.
Here's the thing about George is that I was really not on Team George for a long time, and I was trying not to like him despite the fact that he was like doing pretty well in a lot of the challenges and seemed like a nice guy just because he like got in so late. But then after I met Mr. Tony this episode, I started to really sort of
Megan's a sucker for people's parents.
It humanizes them a lot. I'm with you, Megan.
Yeah, like, so now I'm sort of like I'm less against
before
George.
You were trying to lose a George in 10 days and now you can't.
I know, yeah.
Well, and you know, if we were all going to pile in the van and go get participant trophies, I would be fine. But I'm just saying, like, I can't meet everyone's mom. I just decide that we all go to the finale together.
Well, that's why I just like a no quick fire, no elimination. But it seems like, to move it on a little bit, I think what we've clarified is that you're really upset about what essentially was an immunity from next week. A future immunity, mm-hmm. which is a pretty intense prize.
Yeah.
So let's take a little bit of a – let's pull some Melissa shade out of the
mailbag.
I thought you were ready.
That startled Caleb so
much. Yeah, I was. I just thought you were going to say it or
That's
give
– anticipation.
You just hesitated. I didn't know if it was the connection.
No, it was
It's
Ezra.
Always a bell coming next.
It was Ezra.
Always a bell.
So ready.
Mailbag.
So I don't remember how we pronounce things. Joan? What did we decide?
Yeah, sure.
Joan.
Yeah, Joan.
Said, Melissa having immunity next week is going to leave us with a pretty big challenge for the rest because nobody thought she was going to be in Mexico. So now is the time for those to prove that they can do it. Do you guys think that that's a fair characterization, that it is basically immunity? And also, do you agree that we didn't expect to see her in Mexico?
Wait, this is where we have to talk about the preview stuff. Right?
I don't think I saw the preview.
Yeah, we did.
It's a preview where Melissa is in the kitchen with May.
Oh, yeah. So she has to work.
So she's doing something, but we're not sure what.
It's immunity because she can't. She's going through to the final and she's cooking. She can't
I think she's the prize for winning a quick fire. She's getting Melissa sous chef. I think that's what it is.
Oh, I thought you meant like if you win the whole challenge, you get like $100,000 from Glad and a Melissa.
You bag a Melissa.
You get to have coffee with her whenever you want, no matter what you say about her on a podcast.
Even if you're Tanya.
Yeah, tell me about your skin, Melissa.
How does no one else see the logic in this? Like, if you really want all your favorites to compete in the final, you can't have Melissa there. That's the hard truth.
It's because I think that there's a math somehow that it works out. I still believe that you can have the three we want.
The thing I can't figure out is if there's like a life raft, would I want Tanya in charge of it or not? Because
because whoever stays on the raft is going to survive because of brutal logic.
Well, no, it's just like, do I want that? Yeah, so like, I know Tanya like will like put people on the raft that are like good people, but like I know I might not make the cut necessarily because like she's very like, you know.
Yeah.
So there's only so many spots on the raft. Tanya's not going to like.
They're going to survive.
Kill us all.
But Tanya might kill me to do it, and that is a hard decision to decide if it's worth that risk.
Why would I be in charge of a life raft, you guys?
Well, in this hypothetical,
I'm not in charge of Top Chef. It's not like because I'm talking about this, Melissa has disappeared.
No, in fact,
do we know where she is right now, guys?
Have you ever seen Tanya and Top Chef in the same place?
I haven't.
Watch it with you, but we were on. It was on TV. It wasn't like we were.
I'm glad that our listeners understand what I'm saying. And when we have to gather together to say goodbye to Greg, I hope you guys remember that I said this. I'm like, oh well, you know, you said goodbye to Greg. I hope you're happy with Melissa because she's still here.
Well, Tanya, the thing is, like, if we agreed with you, then that would have saved Greg. But that's not the situation we're in either.
So here, let's give another bit of feedback. That was from.
Oh,
mailbag.
So that was from Joan on packyourmics.com. Now from Danielle on Facebook. I like Melissa, and I'm glad she's doing well, but she better not win just because she peaked at the right time. It's always bothersome when a mediocre chef gets away with the title. That leads me to the question. So I guess maybe why I'm not as concerned as you are, Tanya, is because even though I like three people better than the other two, if the finals are two people I like and one person I don't, that's also okay. If it was a May Gregory Melissa finale, that's fine with me as long as Melissa doesn't win.
I mean,
yeah, I think we've been here before.
It's risky, but we've also been to plenty of times where there's like a third. We've had several finales where there's three people and one is eliminated mathematically, basically.
Yeah, I mean, however, I guess like in single elimination tournament play or what have you, anything where there's a bracket. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes whoever's peaking early or peaking at the right time does win. And that's okay. That's part of what keeps it interesting. I mean, we'd love for the most talented chef to win every time. But if Melissa peaks there it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of skill and timing and mental and emotional fortitude to peak at the right time. And she's showing a lot of skill that
just
you know,
a small quibble. This is literally double elimination. So that's precisely what this is. That's what last chance.
Oh, you're right. Well, that's okay. Yep, you're right.
Still, I mean, I'm kind of with Chris on this that like it's I don't know. Sometimes you end up with Eli Manning having two Super Bowl titles, and that's okay. I don't know. I don't hate this. Like Melissa would have to do super well in order to win out from here. And like
yes,
and they would like if she beats them, I can't imagine it being like where she just like sucks and wins. Like so mm-hmm.
Yeah. The finals are gonna be another even more elite crucible for, you know, this group.
So yeah, and it also it also doesn't seem like yes, Melissa hasn't been doing as well historically throughout especially the earlier part of the challenges as the other chefs who were, you know, from the beginning clearly in the top. But she also hasn't been doing, like, really, really badly. And I feel like there have been some seasons in the past where someone, it felt like someone who just, like, kept doing really badly was somehow, like, keeping
going. Yeah.
And it was really
frustrating. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't remember any season where that happened.
It's been removed from my brain. What could it possibly be?
And I don't feel like it's that big of a disparity this time. I don't know.
I just want to add a little bit of information here. According to the Bravo website, next week will be episode 12, The Final Battle of Beantown. And
So we're not going to Mexico yet.
Yeah, we're still in Boston.
So next week we have a high-stakes elimination challenge where the chefs will push their boundaries to create the most innovative and unique dish. Yeah, so...
With beans?
Well, it doesn't say beans, but it does say four wild grapes.
Oh, I'm hoping for beans.
It does say
hoping for beans.
So that means it's going to be gastronomic.
Okay, so like nitro beans?
Yeah, beans on nitro. Anyway, so it's possible still that that Melissa gets she gets immunity next week, and then we eliminate George, and then the first week in Mexico, it's a two-part finals, and the first one eliminates Melissa. That still seems possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not 100%, but it still seems possible. We complained so much about immunity before. It's sort of weird that they got rid of immunity for today's episode, but give you immunity for next week, which is a bigger prize.
Well, it's sort of like immunity, but it's also like a first round bye.
Yeah. Same thing. It's still crazy large. It's a huge prize.
I mean, okay, so here's kind of a question.
It's not based on a quick fire.
No, it's at least it was based on
a real challenge.
It's like an elimination challenge prize.
Yeah. It's like how good is your mom versus their mom?
Mom is the most likable mom because mom likability really rules this world.
Okay, well, since you guys are satisfied, can I do one more mailbag first?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yes,
one more
mailbag.
So this was sort of what Tanya was getting at earlier, which is that it's not about moms. She thinks it might actually be based on the dishes. This is from Eunice, who says, I guess Melissa deserved it based on her dish. I'm still not convinced. I feel like she gave her mom something that she'd always made, but with a small twist, so it wasn't actually that hard. If she wins, there is no justice because she stole her BFF May's clams, which way back in the day.
Oh, way back in the day. Yeah.
Did that really tip the scales, that quickfire,
nope.
Eunice?
I was going to say, I think we all know that you can win lots of quickfire and elimination challenges and still have things taken from you in the end.
Yeah, you can also steal a lot of clams and not prosper. You know, it's like they say, clam stealers never win.
Mm. I guess. And then
famous Boston
though.
Saying.
Yes.
I guess I feel like I understand what Eunice is getting at here, and I'm curious what you guys feel like would be a really satisfying finale.
I think I've described
because there's such a difference between like, Doug. Yeah, it's accurate. Everyone, like the person who cooked the best dish won, and now we all go home. But like, I'm curious what feels really great, you know?
I like when it's close, but there's a way you can count the courses and say person one, two, and four, other person won three and five. It goes to the first person. I like when it's clear, like where there's some, even though it's obviously bullshit because it's all up to their judgment. I like when they sort of make the mathematical excuse, and so we can go, yeah, we can agree on that math.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although three and five is your meat course and your dessert, so it's your final, you know.
Yeah. I mean, so it seemed like maybe they get bonus points for the meat course, but then Tom doesn't really like dessert, so you don't get as much for winning dessert course.
Yeah. Can we talk about how delighted Tom was to be next to water? Because there was a time when, like, when Tom was talking about May's entree, and he's like, it's clam. It was so good. And, like, he was looking out over the water, and maybe a boat was passing by. And, like, the way that he said that, he gets so choked up when thinking about the water. That it's hilarious.
That was cute. Actually, I want to add one more thing from the ding.
Mailbag.
Just point at the camera or some visual cue. You don't have to.
Joan also said this on Facebook about Tom. Today he was more like troll Calicchio. Funny as he can be, the moment with May's brother and his burning the food, or all of the puns to Greg, or even controlling the mane of his exec chefs long after they didn't work for him, it kind of made me believe that he was a hell of a boss. Not necessarily in a bad way, but in the strict demanding sense. Also, I felt definitely. Like he did come across as kind of a dick to May's brother.
Yeah, I felt bad for Harley.
Yeah,
he's like, I never felt
was
bad
so
for Harley.
Natured about the whole thing. I was really because it could have gone really badly for him. Because I don't know. I feel like he was on TV and
he was just sitting there sautéing mushrooms. And Tom walks in and is like, "Did you know your brother's burning the mushrooms?" Real mean about it.
I don't know. I was glad that Harley was able to sort of just let it all roll back off of him, and
yeah,
I feel like that it worked
can't
out.
Get to Harley.
It worked out well in the end because of that. You know,
it did feel like Tom has been mean today. That's what I felt that too.
I just have no sympathy for Harley. I don't know what's happening. I think this is like dredging up some stuff. Like, I'm really glad that Harley never got his feelings hurt because he dragged his feet all over the kitchen and tried to burn things. Let's never have anyone be mean to Harley. He couldn't really muster the enthusiasm to zest a lemon in a timely manner.
Yeah, there's not knowing how to cook and showing up with enthusiasm, and then there's Harley.
Not everybody's a quick cook.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he was really trying. Maybe I just really sympathize for him because I am also a really slow cook, which I know, like, you can try and still be slow. Like, sometimes you're just, like, not very practiced, and so.
But he never said, like, I'm trying. He was always just kind of like,
Well, that's because.
So here's what I think, Tanya. I agree with you that it's not the perfect finale right now, the way it's shaping up, but also it feels like you might be heartless. It's just that. Just that combination.
Not heartless. I have a lot of feelings for May and Greg and Doug.
Well, so let's talk about Dougie. So this was our last chance kitchen before the last chance kitchen finale.
brought to you by Hidden Valley Ranch and the Glad family of products.
Well,
oh my God. Kitchen.
Finally, we actually got to see a challenge with Hidden Valley Ranch. So it was the two remaining last chance competitors, Dougie and Adam, and they had to cook something with ranch or ranch powder.
Yeah, but the only veg they could use was from a crudité plate, and crudité is like the broccoli and the carrots and the cauliflower that you dip in the ranch.
Yeah, it's a party platter. I don't know why they had to say it in French.
I wish someone had just like set out like kind of like lines of like ranch powder and just be like, you know, chopped up on like a mirror and be like, you know, go to town. Yeah. Just like, this is how they did in the 80s.
Well, I cut a little straw out of this baby carrot.
Look, Melissa, it doesn't matter how well you cut the vegetables. what was fun about this one, so Dougie ended up beating Adam in what seemed like a very close competition.
Wow, I thought Doug was going to be the loser in this one all the way.
He just screwed up his steak. Way messed up his steak. And the other people on the bench on the
Carrie Ann. Yeah,
Carrie Ann.
Who basically did nothing right all season. Carrie Ann was like, you're overcook that meat. It's too early.
Well, maybe she's a better coach than a player.
Yeah, some people are. She just needs to stay in the dugout.
Could be. But Adam's dish was like, it was like a crepe filled with ricotta and ranch flavoring. And
yeah, that's the thing is that Adam's didn't sound good.
Yeah.
It looked kind of crazy.
It seemed like he was doing something more elaborate, but that Tom just didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
he didn't really say it. Like, at the end, he was like, crepe was a little thick, but I feel like he was just like, if you don't have something nice, then like, yeah. sort of yeah,
there was no technical note.
Dougie, like, trying to tell me that was better than that.
Also, does anyone else, this is a kind of intense observation, but I feel like Tom takes bigger bites during Last Chance Kitchen, and when he like samples people's food, he's like chewing for a lot longer, and there's a nap. And like goes on to the next one, like he's still just like working through like a large mouthful of food.
I mean, this is what happens if you don't have like a time limit to try to like, you know, fit it in. You're just like, hey, yeah, Tom can chew for as long as he wants. It all goes on the air because the internet, no one cares.
Well, and do you think that maybe he's not as self-conscious because he's not eating in front of Padma?
It must be.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, so I don't remember exactly what Dougie cooked with his steak, but what he did was he overcooked his steak, so he ran to the fridge, grabbed a piece of pork, and just sauteed it right away and flipped it over in like 2 minutes. And that must mean that the ranch crap that he put on it must have been really good.
Yeah.
That Tom could just be like, look, I saw you saute a pork chop in a minute and a half. It's fine. I just don't care. Like, it didn't matter at all. It was kind of amazing.
Well, also meant that Adams was kind of weird.
Well, and Dougie did so much more with the crudité.
That's true. He did use a lot of
crudité. He pickled some of it, and then he like sauteed some and like hard seared some of it. Yeah, there was a lot going on with this crudité.
And he did it all with the ranch powder instead of the actual ranch, which seems like a smart move, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
I love ranch, but it's...
It's disgusting.
That's gross. It's perfect for dipping things that you don't want to be eating, like crudité or the crust of your pizza.
You take that back?
Really? That's your favorite dressing? You've got like beautiful in-season greens, and you got some tomatoes, some maybe some avocado.
What
you want to do is you just want to...
No, that's fine.
There are lots of great dressings. I take umbrage at the fact that Alex said people don't want to eat crusts because crusts are delicious.
Nobody wants to eat the pizza bones. You do it because you.
I will eat all of your crusts from here on to eternity.
Really? This ranch,
oh my gosh. Yes.
No. Okay. I'm gonna ask a really dumb question. This is why we're not food people, right?
We're not TV people.
Why when you make a pizza, do you have to leave the last like half inch shitty? Why don't you just make the pizza on all of the crust?
I mean, you can. There are pizza styles that way. Like they're like very, very little crust style pizzas.
Alex, I have a theory that I just thought of.
So wait, so none of you answered fast enough a good reason. And so I think maybe that this is not as dumb of a question as I thought. But go ahead.
No.
I love it.
I have a theory.
Okay.
Two theories. One is that if you leave a little rim, the sauce and the toppings don't spill over into the oven and burn, essentially in a very high temperature oven. But the other is that the uncovered dough rises more, so it gets thicker around the edge when it like does the baking.
But why do we want it to be thicker around the edge? I mean, it's just
an artifact.
I think it's something to hold on to.
Yeah. It also gives you a grip and stick.
Yeah.
Look, am I the only one that likes crust, Sarah?
No, you're not the only one, Ez.
Okay.
Heartless Mickey over here also likes crust, for your information.
Tanya eats my pizza bones.
Okay, but Tanya's already admitted today.
Don't put it like that.
She's already a monster. We know that about Tanya.
Tanya, you are in charge of my life raft now, Tanya, because of the pizza situation.
I don't like... yucky bread crust.
Oh, that's where Alex is against also.
Yeah. Sorry, I just came back.
No, I don't mind the crust of normal bread. It just feels like there's pizza, it's like part of the crust, it's all crust, and then some of the crust has cheese and sauce, and some of it doesn't. Why do you want the part without cheese and sauce? And you eat it last, so it's the last memory of every pizza is the worst
part
of it.
Well, actually, since 1998, Pizza Hut told me to turn it around, and I've been doing that, so.
Well, that's why Pizza Hut's always trying to add more crap to the crust, because it's just that's the worst part of pizza, and that's your lingering memory.
Untapped potential.
If they just give you a little dish of sauce.
And Alex is all about ranch sauce.
Yeah, ranch, or it could be, I'd take a marinara.
Yeah. No, this is kind of great. Like
just butter.
Butter is not sauce. Garlic butter.
Yeah, garlic butter is sauce.
Regular butter.
Or just butter. What's in your butter sauce, Sarah? Well, it's butter and also...
whipped butter?
Whipped butter with a little bit of melted butter in there.
Yeah.
And a bit of ghee.
Butter.
I don't even need a crust. Eat it with a spoon.
All right, you guys. So... Last predictions or final thoughts? Anything you want to add? Wrap up today.
I had a question actually for everyone.
Now that we've solved pizza crust, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So if someone's going to invite someone that you knew to be your sous chef for comedic value or reality TV drama,
that's a great question.
Who would they pair with you?
Well, so that to give everybody a second to think, that also reminds me that it seems weird how they choose this. I always want to know, like, do they call every family member and only the ones who pick up get it to go, or is it like do they actually give you the
like it shows up? It shows up. Magic elves like, oh no, screen that call.
I feel like as part of your intake, you like sort of like being on what's the one, the weakest link or whatever the.
Sure.
Yeah, like you have like your lifeline picked out in
who
advance.
Who wants a million?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're like, family member are you closest to? And May couldn't say anyone but her brother.
So they just call their emergency contact and they're like, come in.
No, I'm not saying like if you broke your, like you have to answer the phone and be like, what happened to May? No.
That hot her for my mommy.
No, I think that there's... Like, no, because they probably, like, they ask for the information so they can, like, fly your significant other in if you win and, like, all that stuff, you know? Yeah. Like, they're all the people that, like, show up and you're like, oh, my gosh, they're here. Like, you just give them all of that information before you go. That's what I would assume.
But so I couldn't just pick, like, my friend who's the best cook and have them be my emergency contact just in case that happens.
No.
Do you have that, Alex? Like, do you have, like, a friend who you know is the best cook?
Yeah, I definitely know who my friend, the best cooks among my friends are. Who? Nevin.
Huh. All right.
I
never
run into in Whole Foods where I'm like buying butter because I forgot, and he's buying some seven fancy things.
I think Sarah just let you on to the life raft that she's stocking with people.
Yeah, I know a couple of people who are amazing chefs, but the none family members that I think would enjoy cooking on TV and would maybe Brian. Shout out to Brian. He'd be a great phone a friend.
All right.
My sister's husband would be a weird That'd be a weird thing to have.
That would
be the comic
thing.
Relief.
Yeah, but it'd be fun. And I'd yell at him. It'd be great.
He'd be good at making babies feel better if you needed that.
He'd be so good at that. I hope we don't have to. That'd be a weird challenge.
Actually, that'd be really interesting if it's like...
Cook
like,
this thing and then treat this sick baby.
Well, yeah, it's just like, you know, like I don't know, maybe it's like by like Moms Weekly. Like, moms know that it's tough to like, you know, cook while you have a baby. So one of you has to take care of a baby, the other one has to cook.
And the other one has to make a dish with like Jif.
Yeah.
Choose moms, choose Jif.
Oh, or what if it was, you just had to use also. Baby food, so it was like you had to have applesauce on stuff.
No, the baby has to prepare the baby food into an appetizer that you're penalized for.
Yeah.
And obviously they can't have anything sharp to prepare it with, so.
Yeah, but what if, well, what if this, but no, the appetizer is just saying the sounds that animals make. That would be great. Then the baby would be great at it.
Like a table side presentation of just like, bah. Bah, 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 bah.
Who do you guys have that you would pick for your phone a friend?
Well, phone a friend, or does it have to be like family member?
I think
what
whatever
family
you want.
Member right? Would you have cook?
My mom. Yeah. She's awesome at cooking.
Would she take direction from you?
Yeah, she would. I mean, she probably shouldn't, to be honest, but if I were actually a really great cook, then yes, she would.
Yeah,
she
really should go with it. That we're all chefs.
But no.
Yeah, we made it this far. The top dish.
In reality, I would not want my mom taking cooking directions from me.
I think you do at this point, dude.
I don't know. Just, but anyways, she's
just because
great.
We made it this far in the competition, Ezra, doesn't mean that maybe Sarah was like near the bottom every time. It just can't
I'm a dark horse.
I think she won every elimination challenge and then just like phoned it in for the – or sorry, won every quickfire and like phoned in for all the eliminations.
Right, yeah. I wonder that this is from a while back, but we just saw Melissa cooking next week. I always wonder why nobody ever does like when they get immunity. I wonder why no chef is ever like, I'm just gonna take a nap. I need to catch up on sleep, and then
yeah. Or if it's just like I've used this challenge to like make myself a bowl of cereal and nothing for you guys.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Yeah. I am not well rested. I want to gather my thoughts.
Catch up on a scandal.
Eating butter.
Yeah. I'm just gonna chat down on some butter over here, guys.
Scandal.
What do you mean? Just a minute.
Shonda has a hold on me.
Anybody else?
Oh, my sister. She's probably a better cook than I am.
Also, you guys would make great TV.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I would totally watch a show with you and your sister fighting over appetizers.
Yeah. I think, and I don't think I would be giving direction. I think she would.
Really?
Do you guys remember, was it Top Chef Masters with, was Naomi Pomeroy? It was our friend from Portland who, like, was really mean to her dad through that wall.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
2014.
Yes.
James Beard, Best Chef Northwest.
Yeah. Exactly.
She thought she was being mean to a stranger, but instead.
It was her dad.
That was so funny.
Is she like the meat woman? She has like a meat restaurant?
Yeah, she has a restaurant called Beast. And yeah, she just got a James Beard last year.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've met her. She's very nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it. We'll have to just assume for the rest of your families. Megan, do you have a quick answer? I think it would be me. You'd be like, hey, can someone get the tall pot for this appetizer? Someone reach out.
Just send Alex to the pantry. Just bring it all in.
Yeah, I've got a couple of cooking talents. We're not on Top Chef, we're on Top Shelf. You need my...
I think Megan's microphone died.
Yeah, Megan's mic died.
Okay. You can share the mic now.
It's back.
Oh,
wow. No, it's back.
Anyway, we gotta go. Last one, at Chris?
Oh, probably Tanya, I guess.
What?
Yeah.
And Bez?
Oh, nice.
Oh, I guess I'll take Sarah. This seems like a good thing we're doing.
Well, now we look like assholes.
All of my dishes will be really buttery, guys.
I'm sticking to calling Brian. I think that'll be
smarter choice, yeah.
All right, you guys. That's it for thanks for our show. Thanks for listening to us. Next week, you can get in touch with us after you watch the final battle of Beantown. We always want to hear your feedback, your mailbag, packyourmics.com or at packyourmics on Twitter. Or Facebook.com/packyourmics. Pretty consistent across the board. You can also go to packyourmics.com/Amazon anytime you have to buy something from Amazon. Like if you're buying another order of butter by the crate. Who knows?
Yeah.
They might sell. They probably sell ghee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Review on iTunes if you like it, or if you just like butter, talk about butter.
Well, maybe in the off season we'll just do Sarah's Buttercast.
Yes.
Yes.
I have so many things to say about
butters of the world.
I would love to have a time when we could talk about different types of butter. We've been on an odyssey recently with some cultured butter.
Yes.
Love
I didn't even mention about that. I didn't even mention Megan and I went to Dougie's restaurant yesterday for brunch.
What?
Imperial. He's the chef de cuisine there, and I had some butter, jalapeno butter, on my pancakes. It was really good.
Wow.
Gosh, that sounds magical.
I'm assuming you didn't see him, right?
No, he was not. I assume he doesn't work the brunch shift. But everything there was top notch, except the coffee, which is awful. But that's just the way fine restaurants are.
Not about the coffee.
Really good breakfast potatoes.
Yeah, the potatoes were excellent. Mm-hmm. And
That's hard to do. So would you say that the coffee was bottom notch, or is there something below that?
I think it was like below the notches. It was like jumping, trying to reach the first notch. I've mentioned this before, I think, on the show, but this is my biggest complaint about fine dining. No matter how good the restaurant is, they just serve garbage like Farmer Brothers coffee. It's so common. Just no one cares about their coffee. And I've actually read, Hugh Atchison has written like blog posts about the philosophy of this, and they just don't make any money on coffee, so they don't care. But this is not all. There is some movement for better coffee in restaurants, but this was terrible coffee at a very good restaurant. So anyway, didn't see Dougie, but I'll keep my eye out.
They had like a picture of him.
They did. They had like, as seen on Top Chef, Dougie. Also, they do sell his. They do have his fried chicken.
Yeah, fried chicken
and his PBR braised short ribs.
Yeah,
awesome. Very cool. I like the way you said, like, as seen on Top Chef, Dougie, and I imagine him with like his hands under his chin, like a pageant.
Yeah,
child.
Sort of a jaunty smile. Yep. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, Ezra and Sarah, and pretty quiet baby because he got taken away.
Yeah, he's asleep.
Nice. And Megan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alex.
Tanya and Chris, great work.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Alex.
You're awesome. Hey, Chris, no elimination this week. You get to go straight to Mexico.
What? Yay!
Where you'll be promptly eliminated.
Oh, I've been having such a good run, and now in Mexico.
El Corre.
Yeah. He runs.
Reno. Yeah. That was close.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.